Thank you. And with me, as usual, is Rhode Island Public Radio's Scott McKay.
Good morning.
Your regular host, Ian Donis, will be back next week. Our special guest this week for the bonus Q&A is Megan Hughes, the president of the Community College of Rhode Island. Good morning.
Good morning.
New workforce development programs have been getting a lot of press lately, including a partnership between the Community College of Rhode Island and Electric Boat, the submarine maker. But that's not the only workforce development partnership that you're involved with. So tell me a little bit about what CCRI is doing right now to try to really reshape the workforce in Rhode Island.
You know, I arrived about a year and a half ago at the college, and it was clear to me, actually from before I arrived, that we needed to radically rethink how the college thinks about workforce development. And if I start with, we serve our students, right? Fundamentally, that's who we serve, and they come to our college really clear about why they're coming. They're coming to get a degree so that they can get a great job. So if I start with that precept, it makes it, I think, very easy to think about what our responsibility is. I've been really encouraged by so many things. I want to start with the leadership by Scott Jensen of DLT and the commitment of the Department of Labor and Training to really partner with the college and to allow us to think about the kind of redesign that's required has been essential. So the Real Jobs Rhode Island funding that has come into the college has enabled us to pilot, you know, a dozen programs all over the state of Rhode Island that we're actively looking at right now.
Can you give me a couple examples?
Sure, I'd love to. I think the second thing I would really just want to highlight straight up is employers who really have for years wanted to be working with the college and who want to work with our students and our graduates are ringing my phone every single day saying, how do we work with you? In terms of the programs, we've heard a lot about Electric Boat. It's a very important partnership for the college as it is for the entire state. But there are other examples as well. You know, University Medicine, I think, is a tremendous example of they want to provide greater access to higher ed to their incumbent workers. Right. So for their sort of entry level employees who are working for University Medicine, who have a high school degree or a GED and who want to increase their economic opportunity, University Medicine came to us and said, build us something. We want to provide that for our workers. I think that's the kind of model increasingly you're going to see Rhode Island employers really looking to us to do for them. We just got funding. I think it's hot off the press from Labor and Training to do a boot camp, an advanced manufacturing boot camp with Polaris, which I'm sure you know, it's sort of the consortium for advanced manufacturers. I love this because it's allowing us to build a new muscle, which is, you know, we serve individuals who may not be able to come to our college on a full-time basis and get a degree. They need a job right now. So the boot camp, it's a 10-week training, and it's designed to give our students quick, rapid skills so they can go to work right away.
What are the kinds of skills that would be included in something like that?
When we think about the worker of today, never mind tomorrow, right? We know what we need. It's different from even when people in this room were going to college. You need to learn how to be adaptable. You need to learn how to be flexible. You need to learn how to work on a team. Where do you get those skills? From the humanities. At the same time, we also knew employers need real skills, hard skills. I think the misperception that folks have about advanced manufacturing is that it's the kind of work my grandfather did 70 years ago. It's no longer overalls and oil. It's computers, and you need to have really strong technical skills. You need to know your way around a computer, the hardware and the software. So that's the kind of work we're providing in the access to our students.
I'm just wondering, you're not running a glorified voc ed or trade school now, are you?
So,
higher ed, are we forgetting about the humanities?
Let me start by saying I am a proud product of a humanities and a liberal arts education, right? My undergraduate degree is in history. My graduate degree is in art history. So I fundamentally believe in the essential nature of what we teach in the humanities. And for as long as I'm president, that is going to remain right at the heart of the Community College of Rhode Island. And let's remember, Scott, you don't get through our college without doing English and math.
You teach somebody to be an advanced manufacturer of today, and tomorrow the job is taken over by robots. I mean, this has been going on, automation, since the spinning jenny, threw the weavers in Manchester out of work. And I think that at some point you've got to deal with the whole student and not just today's job market.
We are in violent agreement with that point of view. There was an editorial earlier this summer, and I'm paraphrasing, but the editorial basically said, why do community colleges need math anyway? Right? I fundamentally disagree with that idea for the reasons you're outlining. Our job is to make sure that our students are employable now and 10 years from now. And that is about the kind of work you do in the liberal arts.
Why are your completion rates so low, and what can we do about that?
Sure. I'll start by saying our completion rates are not nearly good enough. And it is the number one focus of my team and this college to take those completion rates on aggressively. The next thing I'll say is that we are just a hair shy of what the national average is. So that's not an apology, but it is an acknowledgement of where community colleges are in this country.
But still pretty dismal.
So I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And what I would say is the following. When community colleges were founded 50 years ago in the United States, we were serving a different student. We were founded as junior colleges, and we were serving people that look like the people sitting in this room. We were serving white, middle class, predominantly students. We are now serving primarily low income, first gen students of color. That means there are different requirements and different challenges.
Are people deficient when they come to you? Is it more science and math? Or is it more English and verbal skills? What are the problems?
Yeah, there's got to be a Catskills joke in here somewhere. Both, right? So nearly 70%. So 2/3 of our students come out of the K-12 system needing at least one developmental ed education, which is academic speak for they're holding a high school diploma, but they arrive at our college indicating that they are actually not yet prepared to do English or math coursework. That is the reality of who we serve.
Now, supposedly our K-12 systems are trying to change that. Are you seeing the needle move at all?
Here's what I'm saying. I'm seeing that it is going to be a lagging indicator. So in terms of leading indicators, I'm going to tell you what I see. I see a willingness with the leadership within the K-12 system to partner with the community college to take this on as a shared issue. We have a partnership with RIDE in Central Falls in the high school.
RIDE is the Rhode Island Department of Education.
Correct. That's designed to say, look, I have absolutely no time or energy pointing fingers and blaming anyone. We don't have time. Our students can't afford that. So let's just figure out how we fix it. So the partnership is designed. It's a very simple model. You take our college faculty, you take the high school faculty, you bring them together and say, we want to be ready to serve your students. We want them to walk in our door ready to do college level coursework. How do we make that happen? They have designed what I think of as a boot camp. Right? For high school seniors who, without this kind of intervention, our data tells us are likely to need developmental coursework. So that kind of example, we do it and then we scale it across the state.
And very quickly, if you could make one change today in K-12 education, what would it be?
You know, I think the change I would ask for is let's commit to coming to the table to solve it together.
Well, thank you so much, Megan Hughes, president of the Community College of Rhode Island.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks, as always, to Scott McKay, Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst.
Great to be here.
I'm Elizabeth Harrison. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.